Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
My guest is Mira Desi. She's a certified nutrition educator and real food advocate. Yeah, if we want food that doesn't have gunk in it, eventually they'll start making it. Just right now, we don't know enough, and that gunk they put in it allows them to make it cheaper and last a lot longer, right? And so that's why they're doing it.
And right, a lot of the reason that they do things is because it's cheaper or because they get a better shelf life. And honestly, that's the key for them. The cheaper they can make it and the longer it can be out there before they have to pull it from the shelves and replace it, the more profitable it is for them. And we've also, as a culture, been sucked in by the myth of convenience. Oh, just let us handle that for you. We'll take care of it, and you can still feed your family, and it only takes 15 minutes to open all those cans and put them on the table. And,
right.
You know, it's a challenge. I think the other thing that is really difficult for a lot of people is until they begin to actually read the labels and look at what's in their food, they just don't know how pervasive it is.
And we're gonna talk about that coming up here. We'll talk about how to read food labels, and I know you have a lot of suggestions for my listeners. But here's one question, though. I think some people, and it might be a legitimate question. You know, you have a story where this is very personal for you. And I know a lot of people do, but some people listening are kind of like, well, you know, I'm pretty healthy. Should I really read your book? Should I really get into the pantry principle? I mean, I get that question a lot, I'll be honest with you. Do I really need vitamin C and D? What do you say to somebody like that? How do you inspire them, even when healthy, to get to really think about what they're eating?
Well, there are two different things that happen. One, of course, is just talking to people about some of what's in their food when they discover that there are things that are known to cause rashes or headaches or insomnia or things like that. If they suffer from those issues, they think, really? That could be from my food? Absolutely.
Oh, they never connect it. Yeah, they never connect it.
Exactly. And then the other is a lot of times I will ask people to try really hard to remove certain things that are most common to cause issues for 21 days. And then at the end of 21 days, if they want to try and challenge themselves and see how they're doing, frequently they come in there like, man, I had a killer headache. Do you think it could be the food?
Well, that's a good way for them to make that connection, isn't it? So you eliminate something, they feel better, and then you add that back in, and oh my gosh, there's my headache, and you can start making that, you know, that connection. The classic one there. Although a lot of people don't consider caffeine to be, you know, in part of this group of things we're talking about today, but you eliminate caffeine from your diet, and then you'll get a headache, and you'll realize that shows you how compounds can affect us, right, whether you add them or take them away. I mean, I think that's a good example. The book is called The Pantry Principle, How to Read the Label and Understand What's Really in Your Food. Where can people purchase the book?
They can get it on Amazon. That would be the easiest place.
Do you have a website you'd like to share with the listeners?
I do, sure. It's also available at my website, and people can learn more about me and sign up for my newsletter where I give away lots of information about what's happening in our food, and that's at thepantryprinciple.net.
You know, I'm going to ask you another question here. With all of the, and I've seen some reports of this. Do you think some of this artificial stuff, especially the artificial sweeteners, are they addictive to people?
The research that I've done shows that not only are they addictive, they can cause weight gain. And the reason you're taking it in the first place is because you think you want to lose weight, and you're going to do it by cutting your sugars. Challenges with artificial sweeteners, it bypasses part of our brain sensing abilities to understand how many calories are in our food. And when we consume artificial sweeteners, we have a tendency to consume more. Counter to why you're taking it in the first place.
Right. Which is why they've noticed some of the actual weight gain that you see in people who are drinking the Diet Cokes and the Diet Pepsis and what have you because of those artificial sweeteners. That's an interesting connection. And so often, in my experience in medicine and in dealing with people and just the industry, when we start to mess with nature too much, we end up getting the opposite result that we thought we were going to get. And I see that so often. Trans fats, artificial sweeteners. You know, look at trans fats. They were introduced because we wanted people eating less regular fat. So let's make a fake one, right? Let's make it more like an oil by adding hydrogens to it, and that's going to be good for us. And we know that that's one of the worst things you can do. Well, there you go.
Sure.
We're messing with nature, and we end up getting the opposite results. You know, so this is tough now because, you know, there's reading labels is not easy. I know that, by the way, are you a proponent for better food labels in general?
I am. I think that the labels are kind of confusing and they don't tell the whole story. Manufacturers can actually manipulate the label a little bit. Trans fats is a perfect example. If you're looking at the label and it says trans fats equals zero, you need to then jump down and read the ingredients. Because if there's anything hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated in there, you are getting trans fat. However, if it's less than a half gram per serving, they're allowed to tell you that there's none in there.
That there's none in it, right. So if you add up different sources in a day, you actually could be given, you could be consuming, right, a significant amount of of these dangerous, unnatural fats. So I guess at what you're telling me, the current food labels, I really can't trust them, can I? Too much, at least.
You have to take them with a grain of salt. just because
real salt, no. Just,
yeah, right, sea salt.
Yeah.
But you know, because part of the challenge is there is some manipulation. The sources of fiber sometimes that are listed on the label are not true fibers. They're manufactured versions, so they're being counted improperly. There are some reports that show that the caloric count can be off and all of these things. So we use that as a guideline, but we also use it to help us make choices that are real food. Because what we really want to do at the end of the day is nourish our bodies and be healthy.
Right. So when people really start reading the food labels a little bit more, and I know you agree with me, we have to stop looking on that front part, right, of the problem. We got to turn the bottle over, the package over. Well, you know, we do that. I mean, there's a reason why they make the front part all colors. I mean, there's companies that spend lots of money figuring out what's going to catch your eye, what's the word. But the real information's on the back. What's the most surprising thing that we might find in our food if we really start reading the labels? Like, what surprised you the most?
One of the things that struck me the most when I first began doing this was the realization that I was accepting a lot of things that when I stopped to think about them, I knew were not food, but they were in there. So the two biggest ones are if it has a number, it's not food. Nature doesn't grow by numbers. And
that's a good one. I like that.
Not eat it. And the other was things that are all capital letters. BHT, BHA, EDTA,
right.
PBH, all those things. And I would just gloss right over them. I didn't know what they were, but I accepted that, oh, well, it must just be part of whatever. And now I know that those are abbreviations for long chemical names, you know, and so we don't want to eat that either.
Right. And so now when you look at a label, run us through one just real quickly. What's the first thing maybe we should look at? I mean, do you just jump right to the bottom where all those big names are listed, or do you have a process that you like to teach in the pantry principle?
I actually have a process that I like to teach. One of the first things for people is to help them by looking at the serving size. The serving size is determined by the manufacturer. A portion is what you serve yourself, but you also have to remember that that means you have to manipulate that label if you're looking at the numbers. And so you look at the serving size just to kind of get a general idea. I strongly encourage people to become highly, highly aware of their sugars. So always look at those sugar grams and know what you're eating. It's amazing how much sugar is stuffed into so much of our food.
You know, in the first segment, by the way, in the first segment that I just went over, I don't know if you heard it, I listed out the number of grams of simple sugars in some of our foods, and you'd be surprised. Things like apple juice or applesauce that you think is good for your child often has more sugar grams than a regular Coke.
Right.
I mean, it's really in there, but you got to look on the back label to find it, right?
And it's really hard when you look at your breakfast cereal, for example, and they say, oh, has a full day's worth of antioxidants. Yeah, but it comes with 18 grams of sugar.
<Yeah, I know. laughs> Kind of counters that, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah.
It does. And that's a shame. So you like to look at the sugars, right? That's a big one. And again, it's not just where it says carbohydrates. How many labels, let me ask you this though, how many of the labels are breaking down? Because you know, you could put the number of simple sugars, right? You could just put that in the total number of carbs. You could hide that there. Are more manufacturers breaking out the types of carbs, complex, simple? Or are they going to be hidden in that total carbohydrate number?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of them seem to be breaking down their carbohydrates more, especially because there are certain nutritional plans that people like to follow where they're learning, for example, to break down what is a simple carb and where they're coming from. However, most manufacturers still list the sugars. It's not mandatory on the label, but they do put it in there. So,
and that's probably, you know, the first thing we want to draw, that, you know, listeners need to look for that simple sugar number, because that's really what's going to tell you what you're getting. And unfortunately, a lot of these products are up to 50-60% of the total carbs are those simple sugars. You know, we're running out of time here. So the book, a wonderful book, by the way, I'm going to give the whole title here, The Pantry Principle, How to Read the Label and Understand What's Really in Your Food. And it's available, right, you know, just about any place, Amazon. But go ahead and give us your website one more time.
Sure. It's thepantryprinciple.net.
That is, pantry, that's hard to say, pantryprinciple.net. Wonderful site, wonderful book. Thank you so much for coming on Healthy Talk this afternoon. And you know what? I know you went through a lot to get to this stage in this education that you're doing. But in you know, one of those blessings in disguise, right? Because you're doing such great work, and I just want to thank you. So thank you for coming on Healthy Talk. This is Healthy Talk Radio on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.